Westmoreland, Tennessee. Terry, how are you?
Doing good. How are you, George?
Doing good. So let's get right to it on a busy show today for you. Lee Fowler will join us at 2:40, and he will be with us until we go off the air right at 3:30. The Big Ten presidents in the last 20 minutes have voted to postpone the 2020 college football season. Postpone may be the wrong word. Cancel, with hopes of playing in the spring. Watson, do you think this came down to they tried to get everybody to go in on the same, you know, plane, and when they weren't able to do it or willing to do it, the Big Ten said, screw it, we're going to come out and say it?
Yeah, I think so. I think because of the first go-around, George, and they caught a lot of grief because they didn't let the other, quote, Power Fives know. Well, they've let them know, and it didn't matter anyway. I just think it'd be interesting to get John tomorrow, but I think the whole deal is some of these side effects from the COVID now that they're thinking could affect kids the rest of their life, and some of that stuff is now popping out. So they're not just using death as a piece of it. I think there's more to it now. And I think that unknown is scaring the presidents, and I can understand that.
So the Big Ten has done their thing, which means they're waiting for spring football, hopefully with a vaccine. Terry, meanwhile, both the SEC and the ACC are claiming that their medical advisory groups believe a fall season can be played safely. Now, I'm going to read just a tad bit of a guy named Dr. Cameron Wolf, who is a Duke infectious disease specialist. He says that doctors have learned enough over the past 6 months to manage the risk. And he goes on to say, we believe we can mitigate it down to a level that makes everyone safe. Can we safely have two teams meet on the field? I would say yes. Will it be tough? Yes. Will it be expensive and hard and lots of work? For sure. But I do believe you can sufficiently mitigate the risk of bringing COVID onto the football field or into the training room at a level that's no different than living as a student on campus. Terry, as our, let's see, what do we call this? Our infectious disease director, your reaction?
Well, certainly a bold step being taken right there by this doctor from Duke University. Now, I would say he's much smarter than I am since he's a doctor at Duke. But
you did stay at a Holiday Inn.
I have stayed at a Holiday Inn. Not last night, but I have done it before.
Right. Was it good? I mean, were the beds clean?
Probably the last time I stayed at a Holiday Inn, I was probably a kid.
Okay, well, I know they appreciate your patronage, even though it seems to be a big gap between...
You're not that old, though, Terry, so you're still a kid, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably 1975 or something, you know.
Comparative to the people on this show.
Hey!
But anyway, back to the topic.
Watson, trust me, we will get even at some point.
Tell Zach that's ugly.
Yeah.
Yes, back to the topic at hand. to me, you know, this falls under the heading of kind of what I was talking about yesterday about, you know, some people are going to think that the risk is worth it and they're going to forge ahead, and some people are going to be very cautious and they're going to be very apprehensive about playing, and it certainly sounds like that the SEC and the ACC are in the camp of wanting to do whatever they can to play. And I think, you know, one of the things that maybe, you know, you're having to look at and having to do is during this pandemic and until a vaccine can be cured or until there's herd immunity and that sort of thing, is trying to live with and manage life as best you can under the circumstances rather than, you know, having to shut everything down for a year or two. And I think this is a part of that, that what the people that wanting to go forward and play are going to try and do. Now, will it work? I don't know. And if it doesn't work, they are certainly opening themselves up to major criticism on a lot of different fronts.
Okay, Greg Sankey saying, our medical advisory group has said, yes, we can continue to go forward. Should that advice change, that would certainly be a stopping point. Okay, I'm going to run through a couple of things real quickly. We'll go to our first break a tad bit early. UMass today became the third school to just say, we're punting it. It's not going to happen. So it's UMass, Old Dominion, and UConn who have now said that. Stanley Cup playoffs, now that we've gotten through the round of whatever you want to call it, the best of five, where the Preds got bounced, the real stuff begins right now. Tampa Bay and Columbus are going at it as we speak. We will keep you updated throughout the afternoon on that one. So when we come back, we're going to start in St. Louis. My buddy Kyle Harris is going to join us to tell us about the latest news involving the city and all the depositions as they try to make the NFL's life miserable for stealing the Rams. Then, around 2:30, you'll hear about 8 minutes of Mike Vrabel's press conference that got held about an hour ago. Then Lee Fowler at 2:40. We will open up for your phone calls for him and Watson at 3 p.m. on the button. So get ready. We got a busy show. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Martin Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet. The back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look, and I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her, and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
Allstate has new lower auto rates. Nope. Allstate has new lower auto rates. Allstate has new lower auto rates. Allstate has new lower auto rates.
Allstate has new lower auto rates. There we go.
For new lower auto rates, visit allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today.
Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Are you struggling to feed your family? If your family gets free or reduced price school meals, you may qualify to receive money for groceries through the PEBT program. Visit TennesseeMeals.com or call 866-311-4287. The deadline is soon. That's TennesseeMeals.com, 866-311-4287. Brought to you by this station, the Tennessee Justice Center, and the Tennessee Department of Human Services.
You're listening to the George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
2:15 in a busy day. If you're just joining us, the Big Ten has done what we thought they would do. The presidents have voted to move college football in their conference back into the spring in what may well be a four-corner stall, but also a hope that a vaccine can make this really possible. Lee Fowler will join us today at 2:40 with all of the down and dirty of what all of this means. But first things first, I have a buddy in St. Louis, Kyle Harris, who keeps me updated on what's going on between the city and the NFL in a lawsuit that I believe the NFL ultimately will cave and tell the city of St. Louis, if you will go away, we will promise you a franchise. I think the thing is that serious. Kyle, how you doing?
George, I am doing well, man. How about yourself?
Good. I know we've got to move quick because I got to have you out of here in about 10, 11 minutes. What is the name you want to go by?
I thought about it a lot. I think Intern Vern is going to be my my name.
Intern Vern. Okay. Let's get right to it. There were some new developments Friday. Talk to us about them.
Yeah, you bet. So this morning, Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch released an article with an update on the NFL lawsuit. But big news. So the city of St. Louis released the depositions, and they specifically called out 42 people. That includes all NFL owners, and specifically yours truly, Stan Kroenke, Goodell, the COO of the Rams, Kevin Demoff. And then the former NFL VP, who had just a terrible public showing back in St. Louis in 2016 timeframe, Eric Grubman. So they've got all those requests in their inbox or in their mail, and they get to tell their side of the story. So,
were you surprised that Jeff Fisher was not on that list?
No. I wasn't, honestly, because I think this is more NFL commissioner, his office, and the actual owners at the end of the day. What's funny is if you look at these relocation rules that the NFL developed themselves, they originally developed them to keep Al Davis in Oakland, if you look back at the history. And at the end of the day, they ended up shooting themselves in the foot. When all this comes out, I think what you're going to find is these rules that they came up with and were vocal about years ago, they completely disregarded them with the Rams relocation process, which is really the basis of this frustration. They didn't play by their own rules.
Watson, say hello to Intern Vern.
Intern Vern, I like that.
It's got a nice ring to it.
How are you doing,
Watson? I'm doing good. What do you think they're really after? Are they just wanting to make everything as open and get all the? Are they really after money? Are they wanting another team in town? What is the goal, in your opinion? I know how ticked they are at them. I think everybody is.
Yeah, I think right now it's money ultimately, and I think also, you know, St. Louis has had the little brother syndrome for 100 years. When you think of Chicago and the growth they've seen and you know, essentially they've been kind of shit on, and it's time to stand up. And I think the city realizes that, and they've got some people in place to turn that around, hopefully. And they want the money. It'll be interesting to see if the NFL tries to push, the team. You know, you hear rumors of the Chargers and whatnot, but I think the city is stuck on getting their money and share of the pie.
And if they are they up to something with the money? Would they try to get a different franchise and a different sport, or you just think back in their face if there's a better way to say it is all they're doing?
Well, so the city originally funded the original stadium, so they still have some bills to pay on that facility.
Okay.
They also have bills to pay that they spent developing the plan to keep the Rams in St. Louis. I think they accrued about $14 million in expenses that they need to square up on as well. So there was a lot of money spent. It's a story of deception at the end of the day. The NFL said they were abiding by these rules they put in place, but the reality is they weren't. And I'm really excited to hear and see them, essentially on the stand, because you have to remember, not all owners are on Kroenke and Goodell's side. I mean, you had the former owner of the Panthers that was vocal against Kroenke. You had the Bidwell family, who was formerly in St. Louis, that was vocal against the move. I mean, there was a lot of sketchy, interesting pieces to this puzzle, and I'm excited to hear the whole story. And honestly, I think they should scrap Hard Knocks and put this on TV, because I think it'd be a heck of a series to watch.
Last thing, Terry, and I'll go to you quick. If I'm the NFL, I come back at them with a pay their bills and give them another franchise. Do you think that's possible? And not have to go to court?
Yeah, I think it's possible, and I think it ties back to how successful, the short-lived XFL was. And then, granted, that's changed recently with The Rock purchasing him. But the XFL, it was their best franchise, the St. Louis team. So I think there's still a desire for football here, but I don't know if they want the NFL. It'll be interesting.
Yep. Terry?
Intern Vern. I guess, what I was kind of piggyback on a little bit of what you answered there for Watson, but in trying to secure another franchise, it looks to me like that, St. Louis has lost two franchises, the Cardinals back in the 80s, and then, of course, the Rams going back to L.A. But it does seem like that St. Louis can be a viable football market based on what the XFL franchise did there. Do you feel like there is a group in St. Louis that still wants football there, or do you think that the city and the people, the powers that be, would simply rather make the NFL pay back money and move on from football?
There is a fan base here for sure for the NFL, without a doubt. But it's kind of there's wounds, and it's going to take time for those wounds to heal. And they're really fresh, especially for the people in charge and in the public's eye. So I think it'll be really hard to win over the mayor and her office and the other key players in St. Louis, win them over to say, okay, yeah, we'll take another franchise. I think it'll take a lot of work, and right now I think they got their sights set on the dollars.
All right, and then I'm going to switch gears on you, if you don't mind, and throw you a curveball literally here. what are people up there saying with the Cardinals and the COVID outbreak that basically has halted them? Is there a chance that the Cardinals could be tossed out like the Nashville SC team was because they can't make up games, or do you think that they will go forward with some kind of plan to get them back on the field?
Yeah, great question. I think there's some frustration on the player side because there's rumors that were, that's all they were rumors. There was a casino rumor, there was this and that, and the players have come out. Adam Wainwright vehemently denied that. They had a team meeting. But from a season standpoint, I think they'll be fine. I think you'll see it where they're comparing a win-loss record and your percent of wins at the end of the day if they can't squeeze in the 60-game schedule. I think Rob Manfred came out and said that. I would like to see them, squeeze in those games, but that's a lot of games, and they're not even back to playing yet. So I think they still got 55 games on the schedule, and I think it's like 48 days or something. So that's scrunching down quite a bit. So I wouldn't be shocked if they rely on the win percentage at the end of the year.
George?
Okay, I think we've got enough here, Kyle, on this. Let me ask one thing. Monetarily, what is the number they want?
Man, I've heard everything from as low as $30 million to as high as $1 billion. And it'll be interesting to see with the global climate. you know, the NFL a year ago was perceived as having kind of endless pockets, and they probably still do, but they have a little bit of, you know, with COVID and whatnot going on, I don't know if they'll try and use that to their benefit to try and negotiate down. But really, the ball's in the NFL's court right now. At the end of the day, they've got 42 dispositions out to all their owners, and this is the time where they can come to the table and negotiate. So I would love to personally see him on the stand, but I would not be shocked if there's a deal struck.
Intern Vern, appreciate the update as always.
Hey, you bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
Interesting news out of St. Louis. We have monitored that one for a long time. I don't think it ever goes to trial because I don't think the NFL wants it to, and that's good news for the city of St. Louis. Columbus and Tampa are underway, which means the Stanley Cup playoffs have begun. They are tied at 1-1 7 minutes into that game. The history is that Tampa Bay, with a gaudy record a year ago, got swept in four by Columbus. So don't think revenge might not be a big factor in this. When we come back, we'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, the very latest as they get ready for training camp on Friday. With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
This August, you could win $20,000.
$20,000.
Or even $200,000.
$200,000.
Introducing two new instant games with two ways to play.
Two ways to play.
And two ways to win.
Two ways to win.
Double match and double match bonus.
Double match and double match bonus.
Double the fun. Double the chances. Double the cash. Double match and double match bonus. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little did I just win $50 fun.
Woo, yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, that's good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Well, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some some sure bets out there, so give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at surfspeedymusiccity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at surfspeedymusiccity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Two 2:30 as we welcome all of you back. Tampa Bay and Columbus. 8 minutes left in the first period, tied at one. We'll try to keep you updated on that one. Titans held a press conference a little more than an hour ago, sort of in preparation for the start of training camp on Friday. Let's listen in to Mike Vrabel.
Well, switching over to football, you've had to do an awful lot of planning and schedules with dealing with this pandemic this year. As you look ahead to the season, are you doing anything to build a depth chart for your coaches, you know, anticipating that maybe somebody tests positive and isn't available on a game day?
Well, I took Carter to college yesterday. You know, I dropped Carter off at college. And so we kind of used yesterday as a day for Craig Aukerman to be able to handle the team meetings and handle practice or handle the walkthrough that we had yesterday. And then obviously we've been through and we have set up a flow chart. I feel like we're set up pretty well to be able to handle some of those things. If coaches were out, I feel very comfortable about where we would be. And we'd still be able to Zoom and do game planning and a lot of different things. It's just on the day-to-day being in front of the team, you know, or being at practice. You know, Craig was able to handle that yesterday. So that gave us an opportunity at least, you know, for the players to see and hear him.
Coach, thanks for your time. And thanks for taking voter registration so seriously. But I wanted to ask you about your defensive line. You know, obviously there was a reason you guys felt comfortable in moving on from Jarrell Casey. You know, who was it? What was it that caught your eye about your defensive line that made you feel good that you could do that and still have a strong enough group?
Well, there's a lot of reasons that, as an organization that we make moves with the roster. We're excited about the group that we have moving forward. We haven't done anything but condition. Tomorrow will be our first day with those veteran players that reported on the 28th and began their testing. You know, tomorrow will be the first day that they're going to be on the field with their coaches, continuing the acclimation phase of phase two and being able to do some drills with their respective coaches. That's where we're at right now. And we'll continue to work with those guys. Daquan's been a great leader in there. I think they're well coached. I think Big T does a great job coaching them, and Zach has helped them out. Obviously, Jeff's maturity level and where he's at and his comfort level in the second year, and you know, right on down the line.
With Isaiah Mack coming in last year as an undrafted free agent, and I know you haven't gotten him on the practice field yet, but how much of a different world can it be for him this year?
I think that's all going to depend on how Isaiah plays and how everybody else plays and the role that he creates for himself on the team. And you know, I think he made great strides in the offseason with the Zoom meetings, but you know, it's time to start, you know, playing some football and lining up and being able to recognize all those things and be able to do it on the football field. So, you know, that again, his second year is only going to be as good as he makes it, but he's done a great job and done everything we've asked him to do. So we're going to look forward to getting those guys out there.
All right, this is a little bit off topic, Mike, but I wanted to ask you about your first game as Titans coach.
the aftermath of that, knowing that you needed to find a tight end, what you remember about that at the time, you know, obviously you knew something about Mike Holt, but, you know, finding him and what he has meant to you guys since then.
I think you always have to try to have players that you're familiar with. You know, you're referencing when Delaney was injured, and Pruitt was somebody that, again, as a defensive coach, you get to watch some of the practice squad players on the other side of the ball because they're doing a lot of work for you. And felt like Pruitt had some versatility, felt like, you know, I knew him, knew who he was. He was available. And again, since he's been here, he has carved out a very versatile role for us. He's played on the line of scrimmage. He played off the ball. And he handles a lot. You know, I mean, he's a smart player. So he's a player that doesn't get overwhelmed and can handle his assignments. And it's not an easy job at the line of scrimmage sometimes with these guys and the size of some of the players and the skill set of some of these players that we play. But I'd say that he's been versatile and has carved a niche for himself on his roster.
Thank you.
Mike, how have you managed your time, or how will you manage your time tomorrow when you've got two different groups on the field and in different phases? And then what will Friday look like as media will be out there for the first time? What will take place then?
You guys are going to be out there on Friday?
That's right.
I can't wait. You know, that's a good question about the phases to kind of explain. So tomorrow we'll have everybody that's available on the field at the same time. We'll work through some phase two stuff. The phase two rules have changed slightly this year. Players at the same position can be across from each other. So an offensive lineman can hold a bag for another offensive lineman. A defensive lineman can hold a bag for another defensive lineman. In a teaching phase and an individual drill. Players on the same side of the ball can line up. Offensive players can line up as defensive players in a walkthrough formation. You know, we can't go offense versus defense, but they have changed and modified some of those phase two rules. At that point in time, once that's completed, we will have a little bit extra time for some of these group one players that came in, rookies, quarterbacks, some of the veteran players that came in early, which would then be able to transition into an OTA type practice, which would allow for some one-on-one, some releases, you know, different drills that we feel like can help them acclimate towards practice. So it'll look the same at the beginning, and then there'll be another group there for a little bit there at the end that'll be moving on in their acclimation progression.
Hey, Mike, we asked AJ Brown a bunch of questions yesterday about becoming more of a marked man, so to speak, with defenses now having a year of film on him and sort of knowing what he's capable of. What are some of the things that he has to do to continue to increase the production as defenses perhaps have more of an idea of ways to slow him down?
You know, just continue doing what he's been doing. Be conscientious, learn what to do. Be coachable, be a great teammate, play with great effort and finish. Focus on the details and take care of the football.
Okay, that is Mike Vrabel's press conference from earlier today with training camp set to get underway on Friday. After the break, Lee Fowler will join us. If you have not heard, the Big Ten has made official what we suspected. The presidents have voted to move football back in that conference until the spring. We're awaiting the decisions on the other of the Big Four families. Watson, it's time for you and I to say a word or two about Jody Jones Dentistry. And this is a practice of 22 years plus that's pretty darn good.
Oh, it's fantastic. We're all just so proud of Jody, and we say this as often as we can. And George, I know we're both excited to have him in our radio family for sure. And he's just first class. He's first class in everything he does. He was that way when he was young. He's that way as a football player. He always, to me, he was one of those guys, the sky's, even the sky's not the limit. He just shoot for the best that he could. Always wanted to be a dentist, and he, when he got his own practice, he took off. And it's been a, it's kind of a mirrored image of his life. And so he can do anything. He's, in my opinion, maybe the best in the city. And if you need a, you need a dentist just for you, get there, call him immediately. If you need a family dentist, there can't be a better one. He'll take great care of you, and we're just really proud of him.
259-5100 is their number. Again, 259-5100 if you want to make an appointment, or if you want more info, simply go on his website, JodyJonesDDS.com.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
It is an uncertain time for us all, but kids in foster care have always known an uncertain future. Now, more than ever, we see what it means to truly connect with others in a way we didn't fully appreciate through the simple little things we do. It's those little things that also make a big difference to a kid in foster care, to help them become all they were meant to be. During a time when taking care of each other is by far most important, Youth Villages Foster Care asks that you consider opening your home to these young people who are without one. To keep us all safe and healthy during this time, Youth Villages is offering virtual presentations with information to address your thoughts and questions about fostering a child. Learn how you can become a foster parent at youthvillages.org/foster. Youth Villages. Foster a little hope. Brought to you by Youth Villages in cooperation with this station and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Kevin Harvick swept the weekend at Michigan, winning both races. astonishing. Up next, something a little different. Road course racing from the infield at Daytona. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday, the same place that Kevin Harvick does.
Hi, this is Kevin Harvick, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at facebook.com/thefinallap. It would make us smile.
.44, and this may be the only time you hear that all year. It's the great CBS SEC music that at 2:30 gets the blood pumping. The problem is, who knows where this is all going? The Big Ten, within the hour, has announced that they are scrapping fall football and hoping to go to the spring. The other four big families are still in limbo at the moment. This is the perfect day for Lee Fowler to join us. And by the way, we'll open up the phone lines at 3 o'clock for you to get in with your questions and comments for both Lee and Watson. So, Lee, you're up in Michigan?
Yep, George, up just south of Traverse City, having a family reunion. My wife's family, she's from St. Clair Shore, just north of Detroit. And we come through. She's got three sisters and all their kids and grandkids and outlaws and in-laws are all up here on an inland lake. And we've been playing golf and jet skiing and having a big time.
So I know you've been hearing a lot of this from Big Ten country. What's your initial reaction to their move?
Well, it doesn't surprise me because they've been kind of wavering for some time about not playing and going to the course. And I think the MAC making that decision, I think sports fans have to realize that presidents talk, and even though we perceive universities to be different levels because of their sports programs, a lot of the presidents talk at different levels, especially when they're in the same state, and a lot of the MACs are in the same states the Big Ten schools are, and so it's everybody's aware of what other people are doing, and I think that it's just come to the point where there's been so much canceled that they just feel like if they're playing football, it just reeks of doing it just for money. And I think that's why they're kind of pulling back and going to see how things go with the vaccine and see if they can play football in the spring.
With that in mind, MAC Commissioner John Steinbrecher will join us tomorrow on the show at 2:20. Lee, on the flip side, you've got the SEC and the ACC right now going with sort of the party line of our medical experts are telling us we can do this. What do you make of that?
Well, I think they truly believe that, but I think they believe that they can make it a little over a month from now. They can make it. They think it's going in the right direction, maybe, or will be in the right direction by then. And the people I've talked to, they just don't feel like there's any advantage to canceling at this point. You know, whenever you start practice for real, you still got a month before you play. And as we've talked all along, George, if you can get 4 or 5 games in, it makes that spring a whole lot easier. Plus, it makes it easier on the players that are going to have to turn around, and, as Watson has talked about, and play again in September of the next year. So I don't know that anybody will play a split season, but I don't think the SEC and the ACC have ruled that out. I think they want to get started and play as many as they can. And if something happens, they have to quit. Then they're just ahead of the game and hopefully will play and finish it up in the spring.
Lee, this is the last thing I've got for you, and then I'll turn it over to Watson. Nebraska, within the last few minutes, has come out with what Scott Frost had already said earlier, which was if the Big Ten doesn't play in the fall, we're going to investigate other options. How does that work? Would the Big Ten allow it? Give me some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is a little confusing because most of the time you go by the part, whatever you're, you know, you join these conferences to hopefully come to conclusion that everybody's going to do the same thing and everybody's okay with doing the same thing. But, you know, Nebraska, I think, is a state that hadn't had a lot of issues with COVID. And so they probably feel a little different than the other places that have these huge cities that have gone through a lot of deaths and more COVID infections. So I think that that may be one of the reasons they feel that way. I think at the end of the day, that'll surprise me, unless you have the Big 12 and the SEC and the ACC be patient and then start playing their games as regularly scheduled and they keep playing them. I think Nebraska probably feels like we should have been playing and we want to play football this year. But I find it hard to believe that they would go on their own like that unless they're considering joining one of the other leagues.
Watson?
Lee, I get you to react to the way I feel a little bit. I really was taken back a little, and maybe you don't want to be put on the spot with this, but I'll throw it out there. I was taken back with these coaches taking all these shots about we're playing no matter what they do. I don't understand that. I mean, the president should be the one speaking. And when Ryan Day and Franklin and I guess Sweeney and Nick Saban and just popping out and say we're going to play football, it's not a head coach's decision to do that. It's the president. It's the university's decision. And that really bothered me. It was like they're taking shots at their own conference.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that you got to feel like they at least feel like they have the backing of their own president to say that, because in this situation, I'm sure they've all sat down in the same room and talked. I know we would have had, if I'd been AD at State, we would have gotten everybody in the same room and said, look, this is what we feel like here, and here's all the feelings of everybody here. And if they feel that way, he could be going on a month ago's meeting that the chancellor said, yeah, we're going to play, and he's repeating that. I know that the Nebraska head coach said that his president was on the same page and that they were willing to play this year, and he felt like they should play. So usually they're all speaking off the same playbook, but sometimes there are a few coaches in the world that don't exactly feel like they're being run by anybody. As you know, the Mike Krzyzewskis and those kind of people across the country, they kind of do their thing because they have that kind of power. Now, during this time, when you start health, nobody wants to be out on that limb by themselves. So I'm sure when it got down to making the final decision, Watson, they wouldn't do anything. But the president didn't want them to, because then it's their fault instead of somebody else's. So, but I can understand them making those statements, trying to influence people in Big Ten. We've got to remember that the Big Ten commissioners knew, and if they had the guy they had there for 20 years, I would bet you they would still be in step with everybody else at this point, because he would have influenced the presidents. And when you have a new commissioner coming in those power conferences, it's really tough for him to get the president's all to buy in on what he believes. He's kind of going by what's talked about in the room instead of history and all the things that happened before. So I'm sure that's why the Big Ten's been a little bit zigzagging along the way, because of new representation at the top.
Well, and my reasoning was I didn't like them saying they go play somewhere else. That's what I didn't like. I mean, if you're in a family, I just think that you want to say those things within the family, but it bothers me that the football coach is the one saying that. Why wouldn't it be the athletic director? Why wouldn't it be the president saying those things? And my second question to you real quick would be, is if the Pac-12 does this too, now you're down to three of them, and you've already got two of the five in the group of fives that are gone. Would the NC2A then move the championship to the spring? And would that affect the other three Power Fives? Or would you think the NC2A would play with just three Power Five conferences?
I don't believe they would. I think it would definitely have to be at some point decided whether, you know, give them the whole year to get the games in and then have the championships after that. I can't imagine. The only thing I can imagine, if three of them played and the other two didn't and they had a championship, it'd be hard to get it all back together again, I would say. And I don't think anybody wants that, the three that are playing or the two that aren't playing. So I would think that the SEC, first of all, I guess we should say, I don't think any of them are going to play in the fall. But at this point, that hadn't been decided. But I don't feel like any of them are going to play. And have felt like that for a while. And every day a shoe drops, I think you're less and less likely to have them play. But once again, I don't think that you might not see some games played, but I don't think they're going to be getting their conference schedules in. Maybe a couple, but that'd be it. So, and back to the other point, I think the big thing is the coach can speak out, and then the AD and Chancellor can take it back if the conference people get upset about it or get mad that they said something. So, well, that was my football coach. That wasn't us. He just wants to play, and he's thinking about the kids. And, you know, so I think a coach speaking out like that, I wouldn't want him doing it unless you knew they were going to do that and knew that's how they felt and you were okay with it. And
well, I would agree with that. I wouldn't be as upset with it if I knew everybody indoors was saying the same things. And maybe that's true, but it just hit me wrong when I'm seeing guys say, well, we'll just get out of this league and we'll go play somewhere else. To me, that needs to be coming from the university, not the coaches. My last thing, and if you've got something, pop after this, but my last thing, Lee, if the Pac-12 goes today, and they meet today too, by the way, if they were to go, that'd leave three, and then that would leave three. That'd be six in the FBS. There's only four left in the FCS. I mean, how many more do you think it's going to take before everybody finally just says, we can't do this?
Well, I think we're close, but knowing the three guys of those three that are left, I think the next decision will be all three of them together making it. I'd be shocked if one of them comes out without the other two saying, okay, we're going to not play two. They may not make it at the same time, but I think none of them will make that announcement because those three commissioners are good friends and known each other through being ADs and also being in conference work for a long time. So I'll be shocked if it doesn't happen real quickly with the other three or if they stick together. I think those three will stick together. And I don't think there's anything that says that if things get better in a month and those three start that the Big Ten can't change their mind and, you know, get in six or seven of their games or whatever and just start a little bit later. So even though they're saying they're not going to play, I still think that they're going to watch what happens at this point. They're watching. We've gotten ourselves in a bad situation. I mean, we've got no fall sports playing, and a lot of them, I'm sure, because they cost money and you spend more money than you make on them, and all of a sudden the only one you're talking about is football, and that's why they didn't want the NCAA to decide to not play fall sports because then they knew they'd be out there on the island and would look bad about just trying to play football because it's a money sport.
Terry and Lee, I got 2 minutes. Quick questions, quick answers.
Lee, kind of piggybacking off some of what you said there to Watson, talking about the commissioners being friends in the SEC, ACC, and Big 12. Don't you also think that, and I would kind of think the SEC is the lead dog in this, but don't you kind of think that because those conferences are so interlocked geographically that if the SEC decides, hey, we're going to play, and that puts Florida in, that puts Texas A&M in, that puts South Carolina in, doesn't that mean that the ACC with Florida State and Clemson kind of feel more pressure to get in and that Texas would feel more pressure to get in with A&M playing and kind of a domino effect?
Well, I think it could put pressure on them. I think that it's not that they don't know those other two commissioners. I don't want to imply that, but college athletics is a lot about relationships, and the relationships have been formed over many, many years with those three guys. So they trust each other, and they, you know, they work together, always have. And with Delaney gone from the Big Ten, not to say the new guy's not a – he may be a great commissioner, but he just doesn't have relationships. And Scott out on the Pac-12 is not a – didn't come up through college athletics. He came through out of the tennis world, and he doesn't have the relationships with other guys. So I just think that that's why you've seen this separation of them making decisions on their own, because the other guys wouldn't have done that to somebody else knowing what it would imply to them. So,
No, go ahead.
Guys, I think we're up against it.
Okay, I was just going to ask real quick, how much less money do you think the conferences stand to make if football is played in March rather than in the fall?
Quick answer, Lee.
I mean, I think they can make the same amount, not without crowds, but if they can get crowds in there, they can make more in the spring.
Okay. Hour number one is done. We're going to open up for your phone calls for Lee Fowler and for Watson Brown on kind of an historic day. Big Ten says we're not playing football in the fall. We're going to try it in the spring. Who knows what the other four are going to do? Go ahead and hit the phones now at 844-5600. We'll take your phone calls next.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
And we welcome all of you back. We'll be with you today until 3:30 when Memphis Grizzlies basketball comes up against the Celtics. With us by phone is Lee Fowler, who joins us from up in Big Ten territory. Here is what is going on today, if you have not heard. And by the way, I've got one line still open at 844-5600. So somebody go ahead and jump in on that, on what has become a little bit of an historic day with all this stuff. The Big Ten, a little more than an hour ago, announced they're not going to play college football in the fall. They're going to hope to try to pull this off in the spring. Now, you say to yourself, what does that mean with the other conferences? Well, both the SEC and the ACC are acting like they've got medical people who are telling them it's safe to play. Now, I'm not going to make a lot of comment on that other than to say, really? No kidding. So, with that, we got a lot of folks that want to talk. And let's get on with it. Stan in Smyrna, you're on WNSR at 3:05, and say hello to Lee Fowler.
Hello, Mr. Fowler. How you doing?
Good. Hope you are.
Hey, all good. I've got two quick questions. I'll hurry up and get off of here. And forgive me, I just now got in my car. These questions have already been asked. But what does this do to the bowl games? And are we going to have one national champion or two? With the way that these conferences, one of them's going to play early, these others might play late. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Great questions. Watson, feel free to chime in. By the way, a line open now at 844-5600. Hope somebody will jump in.
Yeah, George, I think the bowl games will just be sitting back and waiting to see what happens. And I think we won't have two champions. I've got to believe that the five conferences will work it out some way. Either the Big Ten will start later in the fall if they feel like it's all safe, or they'll wait and play in the spring, and SEC and them will wait on them. I can't imagine them not letting them participate in the national championship.
Watson, feel free to chime in.
Well, Stan, I think, and Lee, I think the reason this went down today is the Big Ten put themselves in a tough spot because they started playing early. They've got games, I think, on September 5th, whereas the SEC has not got games till the 26th. And so that's a big difference. So the SEC can sit back and say they're going to wait to make a decision because they're not within that month of practice time these players need before they play a game. They start practice on the 17th, which is next week. and the Big Ten had to start practice immediately, so they had to make a decision. I just cannot see two championships. I can't. And if one more goes, Stan, if the Pac-12 goes and you're down to three Power Fives and you're down to three Group of Fives, I just can't see. When is it, Lee, the 21st or something like that, that the NC2A is going to rule on champion on the championship, football championship? I think that's the date. Many more go, I just can't see it. I'm not sure they will now with one gone. But if two of the five go, I cannot see it not being moved.
Watson, listen closely. Go ahead and play it. The breaking news is that it's now 1+1. The Pac-12 in the last 10 minutes has announced they're not going to play in the fall as well.
Yep. Just as we're talking about it.
Yeah. So we now got three
Lee,
sitting there on the hook.
Yeah, there's three. Yeah, Lee, do you think it'll take one more before they close it, or do you think it's done now?
I don't think it's done yet. I think that it probably should be, but I don't think it's done because those other three are going later, like you said, and they feel like that they got time to make that decision. So I don't think you'll see anybody else break ranks. I thought going into the day that those two would go. I'm sure they know that, and probably were told by them that they were both going. So. I just think you'll see some patience now to see what happens. And, you know, Stanky, if you read the things that he talks about, his big deal is every day you learn more about the virus and gives you a better chance to having, you know, games. And so I don't think they'll be in a hurry. And I'll be honest with you guys. I if the virus has just dropped off completely, I'm people can change their mind. These two could come back. So, yes, they made that decision as of today because Watson's got it right. They had such an early starting date, they had to do something. But I think 2 weeks from now, things look unbelievably better. Then I can see them meeting and coming back and joining with the rest of them if it looks like they're going to play. So I don't think anything's final. I think it's just the same way it has been for weeks. We don't really know, and some of them are being a little more cautious than the others are.
Tony in Nolensville, you are up next at 3:09.
Hello, Lee. Good talking to you again, buddy. Hello, everybody.
Howdy.
Lee, the one thing, there's a couple of things that come to my mind. Number one, a lot of these collegiate towns are not big towns. They're small towns. And I've been talking about this for a week or so. The economic impact it's going to have on these smaller towns who rely so much on fall football and tailgating and all that goes on, they have the impact that they're going to suffer, and they've already suffered the COVID impact. Now they're going to be suffering a fall football impact where they not don't have that going on in their town. And then I want you to touch on that if you could. And the other part that I do have a problem with, and Watson, you're going to have players playing football now in the spring, and then you're going to ask the underclassmen to come back. They're going to play 10 games in the spring if they get to pull this off in 2021, and they're going to come back in the fall and play 10 or 12 more 6 months later. I think you're putting a lot of strain on a lot of the bodies and these players to try to come back and play roughly 21 games in a 12-month period. I'm going to let y'all touch on that, guys, and just, George, great show. I know you've got other callers. Thank you.
Hey, Tony, thank you. Watson, talk about that. Let's start with that thought because it's a really good one.
Well, first of all, on the economic piece, they could get all this back and even more if they were to get a virus. I mean, a vaccine for the virus, and now you fill these stadiums back up, they could even make more money in the spring than they'd made in the fall. So the money's not gone, it's been delayed. Now that is a problem. But it could even be more money in the spring than it is in the fall because you could have full again. And if there's a vaccine, we will have full stands. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I think they'll play, by doing this, they're going to play two shorter seasons and maybe 20, 21 games. They play 12, 13, 14 anyway. The FCS plays 15, 16 games, some of them, getting into the playoffs. So I think with time off, you start the season later. You don't start it in August like normal. You start it maybe in October, and you run 10 straight that way or something and give them a little bit longer in between. You're taking out spring ball, which is very physical. Spring practice is very physical. In some ways, it's a lot more physical than your practices during the season. So I think it's doable. I think what they're weighing to me, Tony, they're saying, well, we'll take that chance of making them play more than maybe they need to too quick over taking a chance on losing some of these kids or having lifelong injuries from this COVID if they get it from playing, and then they have things that pester them the rest of their lives. I think that's what's wearing on these presidents.
Lee, I'll get you to comment in just a moment. I now have two lines open at 844-5600. If you love college football, I want you to jump in and react with your questions or your comments on the news we now have. Both the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have said we're moving to the spring and we're not going to play football in the fall. Lee, go ahead.
I 100% agree with what Watson said, and him being a football coach, he understands the physical part of it. They could make more money in the spring. And I also think that if you go to spring, if everybody went to spring, I'm going to bet you see that they don't play 10 conference games. They'll play 8 plus 1 maybe to have I think you'll see shorter seasons, and they'll live with it and just to make sure that the kids don't play too many games. So I think the administrators know that if they play both in 21, that they would be hard for them to play 11 and 12 game seasons in both those seasons. So I think you'll see it shorten back to what they normally play or less.
Looking for two more people to jump in on the phones at 844-5600. Two hearty souls to create a sellout. We have some news that now will blow your mind. Listen to this.
Per Adam Schefter, Titans linebacker Vic Beasley did not pass his physical on the, and he's now on the non-football injury list.
Are they saying what it was?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing else come across.
Okay. Well, Vic Beasley has certainly been an interesting study as a Tennessee Titan, hasn't he? Jeremy up in Bowling Green, you are next at 316.
Hey, George, Watson, Lee, how are we doing today?
We're good. Right. Hope you are.
Doing all right. So I've been seeing a lot, especially in the past 24, 48 hours, all these college football players coming out and getting to Twitter almost like, you know, like the MLB guys did, like the NFL guys did. You know, we want to play. And I know, you know that the college presidents are seeing this stuff, but does that mean anything to them? I mean, of course the players want to play. Are they, what do they expect to accomplish with this? I mean, is there anything that can be accomplished, or are they just almost wasting their time here?
Lee, isn't part of the issue that while you hear the players say we want to play, the schools are probably saying, okay, then clear us of any, you know, medical malpractice, clear us of litigation if something goes bad.
Yeah, and when I saw that, George, I thought that was in response to some players who were saying they weren't going to play. And Watson knows the dynamics of a football team better than any of us on this call, but I think that the guys didn't feel like that was representative of everybody on the team, that they weren't going to play and were worried about playing. And so those other guys, the guys that are leaders,
whether right or wrong, they wanted to say, hey, this is not the team we really want to play. And I think that's what happened at Nebraska and a couple other schools. Those teams didn't have anybody. I mean, Nebraska's trying to get back in the national picture over many, many years of struggling, and they probably, Frost has done a good job of getting that team together, and they all want to play. And so it's kind of interesting, and I think we're mostly just seeing the dynamics of different players on different teams and different team makeups that are speaking out. And I think that's just part of America where people speak out. And most years you don't hear any of that because you don't have this kind of issue going on. This year you're hearing it. And I was glad to see it because the other side was really kind of carrying the day that they were worried about playing.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Also, I was wondering, and maybe I've missed something and it's been out there, but the schools have a plan in place for students that are relying on sports like football or some other fall sports to be able to attend their universities? Are schools just going to take that loss and, you know, not have football but still, you know, be able to pay these kids scholarships? Is that what they're planning to do? Have any schools put any word out about anything like that?
Yeah, I don't think you'll see any schools drop anybody off scholarship. They wouldn't lose it if they went to the NCAA or anybody else to get that handled. So I don't think that's really an issue. Even though they're canceling fall seasons, they're not canceling anybody's scholarships. They're taking care of everybody, and the schools will help however they need to help to make sure that's accomplished. I don't think anybody in any sport will lose a scholarship.
Good.
Well, Jeremy, Lee, thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Watson, you got anything you want to comment on there?
No, I think it's very good. If you took a vote on every team in the country, and Lee would agree with this, 99% are saying they want to play. So I have no problems with the players popping and saying those things. My little issue is a little bit with coaches saying we're going to run from this conference and head to another one because of the decision. That bothered me. But the players, now I think it's very fair for them to speak up. But these guys making these decisions, Lee, these presidents, they know that. That's not what they're making the decision on. They're making it on the health of these kids, not whether they want to play or not.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, they're supposed to look out for their students, and that's what they're doing. I understand that. But I thought the national storyline has been too much that the players are worried and don't want to play because a couple of five guys have said they're going to go and skip the season. And I you know, it really makes me feel good when kids speak out that we want to play. Now, you know that they aren't going to make the final decision whether they play or not, and people who are going to make the medical decision, but it makes me feel good that the kids are making a public statement, we want to play, and that's what college athletics is all about, I think, is the competition and the teamwork and trying to do the best you can in your conferences. So it's a feel-good story for me to hear them step up and get an organization together either that we want to play.
So here is, if you're just joining us, what has gone on today. Both the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have essentially announced, we're not playing in the fall, we're going to try to play college football in the spring. Pac-12 will make the official announcement in about 9 minutes. Nebraska has come out and said, we're going to stick by what Scott Frost said, and we're going to try to figure out how to play, even though the Big Ten isn't in the fall. We're going to try to. UMass became the third school that just said, we're done, joining Old Dominion and UConn. And so now that leads me, guys, to this. Two down, three to go. If one more follows with the Big Ten and the Pac-12, is fall football a done history, done, finito?
I think it is, George, but as I said, I think they'll all three go together this time, so I don't think you'll get just a third by itself. I think they'll stick together and say we've decided to go and play in the spring, or they'll play in the fall.
I don't think you'll see somebody breaks rank in those three.
Watson, what about you?
I agree with that. I think it'll be a while because they're going to – it depends on their practice start time. That's when you got to make these decisions. And I'm not sure. I know the SEC is the 26th. I think the ACC is a week earlier than that.
It's the 12th.
Maybe 2 weeks earlier than that.
They're so
that
the 12th.
Speed it up. Yeah, and then I'm not sure about the – I know the Big 12 had one on the 29th, but I think they've changed that and backed that up. That's why Oklahoma quit practicing. Watch Oklahoma because they were the ones that have been – they've thrown hints out. They're not against spring, if you remember. The coach even said that back a week ago, 10 days ago. They've stopped practice, sent their kids home, bringing them back because they've backed up the first game, I guess. I'd keep my eyes on Oklahoma a little bit here. The other thing, George and Lee, I'll throw out quick is, man, this is going to change the dynamics of some teams. Isn't Fields eligible to come out for the draft at Ohio State?
I think you're right, and, of course, there's no reason
sure
to believe.
It's his third year, so.
Yeah, and there'd be no reason to believe.
In the spring.
Be no reason to believe that Trevor Lawrence would play spring football at Clemson this year.
I just would not believe it with the draft going to take place right in the middle of the season. But they might. I don't know. I just don't think so. But that will be interesting. Both of those two quarterbacks could change the whole – that's the top two QBs in the country right now. That could change the whole dynamics and two of the better teams in the country.
By the way, you're
– the two best teams in the country.
Your brother has been quoted as saying that the ACC wants to play – but that it's going to be very difficult if other Power Fives blow out. Now, obviously, that quote got to ESPN before all of this went down. So, Lee, is it simply SEC is going to be the most stubborn about giving in?
Well, as Watson said earlier, I think that whatever date they feel like that they have to start practice to play games, that's when the decision's going to be made. Because we've got to remember, to fans, it's all about the first game. But the coaches and administrators, if we're going to get them out there and they're going to get in there and start sweating and coughing on each other and practicing, then the virus is going to start spreading because they haven't started doing that yet. And that's when they're going to make the decision. I don't think you're going to see a lot of practice for a month and then say, okay, now we're going to not have the season. So I think when they finally figure out the drop-dead date of we're going to play or practice, we're going to go out and practice, that's when they'll make the decision to either play in the fall or spring because they're really putting the kids at risk when they start practicing full speed.
Lee, I've been all over this thing that the NFL's watching this closely because they're going to pounce the minute college football's out of the picture. And they're going to tell Fox and ESPN and CBS, look, we will give you a Saturday triple header, a noon Nashville time game, a 3:30, a 7:15 for a small nominal fee. We're going to give you these things. But, Lee, is it possible that a couple of what are left, SEC, Big 12, and ACC, are saying, man, with these other two out of the picture, if we can somehow figure it out, we could make a killing distributing our games on all these different networks that are dying for coverage?
I'm sure that hadn't come up a lot, but somebody's thought about it because, and that's why I tell you, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are saying they're playing in the spring, but if the SEC gets it going and they don't have a lot of issues, you don't be surprised if they're 7 days behind them saying we've evaluated it, we've seen what the SEC, ACC are doing, and we're going to play a week later and they start. So I don't for a minute think that they're really through. They're just making a decisive decision at this point because practice is supposed to start, like Watson said.
So, Watson, we need to follow this one very closely that Lee is putting out there, which is essentially these cancellations, postponements may not be worth the paper they're printed on.
That depends, and I agree with Lee, but what you watch is, are these teams, do they go and put the pads on and practice still anyway? And can they do that? What's the NC2A going to say? If they don't practice for the next 3 or 4 weeks, then the SEC plays 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, and it's successful, but their teams aren't practicing. There ain't no way they're starting in a week. That's not going to happen. So for the Big Ten to come back and play quickly, these kids have got to be practicing. And now what's the NC2A going to say? Are they going to let them practice? Is the university going to let them go out there and put pads on and practice against each other? There's still a lot of questions to be answered to me that will kind of tell us. And I think the big one's coming now on the 21st, I believe it is. And that's when the NC2A says we're going to have a football national championship or we're not. Right, Lee? Isn't that the 21st? That's a big decision, man.
Yeah, I think that is the big decision now. But now, the BCS championship is overseen by the NCAA. I didn't know that was under their purview. I thought that was all run strictly by the conferences.
That's what I was going to put out there as well. However,
doesn't the NC2A have to okay the championship?
Well, I think they just set the guidelines for the medical. I may be wrong, Watson, but I think that what they've got to decide is other fall sports. All other fall sports is what they're going to make a decision on.
Guys,
I think it's up to them.
I'm sorry to do this. We're out of time.
No problem. Enjoyed it, George.
Lee, I did too. Watson, try to behave until tomorrow.
We'll try our best.
Is it now time for me to say Memphis Grizzlies basketball is next?
It's close. You're close. You got a few seconds till then.
Really? So
yeah.
I could come with a couple of rumbling, stumbling, fumblings.
Couple quips here and there. You know, you've been doing this long enough.
Yeah, I guess I have been. Anyway, the music means we're done. We'll have a full show tomorrow beginning at 2:20 with MAC Commissioner John Steinbrecher. His league started all of this over the weekend when they said no mas. He'll join us at 2:20.